Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Schell with Second Vet Integrative Animal Portal, and here today we are going to talk about equine joint disease, therapies, and intervention. It is estimated that close to 90% of horses will develop joint-related lameness conditions over their lifespan. The frequency rate obviously climbs as the horse ages, but those younger competitive horses are also at increased risk of disease. A joint allows for motion in the body, but as the joint begins to deteriorate, not only is that motion impaired, but with it, there is often a high level of discomfort. This can then create a limiting factor impairing performance for the equine athlete and a decreased quality of life for the aging horse. A joint is the junction of two bones present within the body, which allows for movement to various degrees. There are numerous joints present in the horse, but more often than not, horse owners just readily associate with the major joints present in the legs, including the carpus, hock, fetlock, pastern, and coffin joints. Although these are the most commonly affected and recognized by horse owners, there are in fact numerous other joints, including those higher in the limbs and along the vertebral column of the back, not to mention those involving the head and the jaw region. There are many terms used to relate to joint degeneration, including arthritis, osteoarthritis, or degenerative joint disease. There are other conditions, including osteochondrosis dissecans, which are not really arthritic conditions, but can contribute to arthritis over time. What happens when a joint degenerates? A joint is the junction between two bones enclosed by a layer of tissue called the joint capsule. The space between the two bones, where they meet, is referred to as the joint space. The two bone ends should essentially glide across one another to facilitate movement. To do this, the ends of the bones are covered in articular cartilage, which facilitates the movement and protects the ends of the bone, almost like an eraser on the end of a pencil. To further facilitate movement, the cells within the joint capsule secrete a sticky fluid called joint fluid, which helps to lubricate the joint and provide frictionless movement. The joint is considered a sacred place due to it being separated off and secluded by the joint capsule. The joint itself is sterile and sealed off from surrounding tissues. Joint degeneration occurs slowly over time unless some acute traumatic situation arises or there is a localized infection in the joint to speed up the process. The process of arthritis or degeneration actually starts in the soft tissue layers around the joint, and the end result over time is the destruction of the bone, cartilage, and joint. We often tend to think that we must see obvious changes on radiograph or x-rays within a joint to indicate that there is joint degeneration. But really, by the time we see these changes on x-ray, the process has been well underway. As the joint degenerates or is impacted, there are stages of progression that take place. First, the condition usually starts in the soft tissue around the joint, which includes the joint capsule and the joint itself. These tissues become stressed, inflamed, and begin to respond by becoming thicker and often secreting more joint fluid to lubricate an irritated joint. This is commonly seen as joint thickening or fluid accumulation within a joint or joint space, medical term being an effusion. In those cases, there is often lameness in the horse and pain on flexion of the joint with an effusion. But when radiographs are taken, there is little to no evidence of bone degeneration present. Second, the condition starts to progress inward, impacting the joint on a deeper level. The already irritated joint capsule that was secreting excess joint fluid now becomes compromised, now producing a lower level of fluid. This is due to tissue changes, cellular changes really, in the joint capsule related to inflammation, which impacts cellular function. This lowered production of joint fluid results in less lubrication to the articular cartilage, and then friction starts to become a factor. As this friction becomes more and more of a factor, the internal structures of the joint now become compromised. This decrease in joint fluid can be seen in any stage of arthritis, but is noted when a veterinarian injects a joint, but is only able to retrieve a small amount of joint fluid, which is commonly referred to as a dry joint. Third, the internal structures of the joint begin to break down as a result of the decreased fluid production. This fluid not only lubricates the structures, but also helps to provide nourishment to the cartilage and other components. When there is less fluid, there is less lubrication, but also a lower nutrient provision. A result is degradation of the internal structures, beginning with the joint cartilage. Over time, the cartilage begins to erode or wear away. As this happens, we begin to see changes in the joint space on x-rays and additionally a fuzzy type of look to the region. Over time, as the cartilage erodes, the underlying bone becomes exposed and begins to take on more stress. Fourth, the joint begins to demonstrate bone-type changes, further erosion of the cartilage and the subchondral bone. In addition, we may also see new bone formation in the shape of bone spurs or exostoses, which are a means of the body to try to stabilize the failing joint. These changes are generally pretty obvious and prominent on x-rays or radiographs. What causes a joint to degenerate? A joint will degenerate due to many factors, but the common line denominator is joint stress, which then creates inflammation within that structure. This joint stress can occur due to a variety of factors and is dependent on the horse and their usage. An older horse will experience natural degeneration over time due to the aging process, which is directly related to oxidative stress and inflammation. Over time, the tissues within the body, including the muscles, tendons, bones, and cartilage, will all experience wear and tear. As this process begins, it can become like a vicious cycle of events with one event leading to the other. The competitive equine athlete is obviously at a much higher risk of joint degeneration due to increasing wear and tear upon the joints. Whether if the horse is a hunter, jumper, dressage, barrel racer, or competes in roping events, the joints are taking on a much higher level of abuse than they were originally intended. This increased stress upon the joint initiates the inflammatory process, which then creates the degenerative changes within the joint space over time. Foals and younger horses are often at increased risk of joint degenerative disease secondary to infections within the joint space. This can also occur secondary to traumatic or even joint injections. The bacteria present within the joint initiates an immune response, which then leads to inflammation and, in most, degenerative changes. The presence of conformational issues in the horse can also dramatically impact joint degeneration. If a horse is towed in or towed out, as an example, it will lead to increased stress upon the joint. The same will happen if a horse is camped under or camped out regarding the hock or the carpus. Other joint-related conditions, including OCD, are physical defects in the normal cartilage development. They are really a weak spot in the cartilage and can signify improper cellular signaling at the time of development. Given the weakness that they indicate, this may mean an increased risk of joint instability and degeneration in some patients. Even with surgery, many of these patients suffer the ill effects of joint degeneration down the road in their life. Whether this is truly directly related to the presence of an OCD lesion or the effect of the surgery is debatable. Joint therapy options for prevention and treatment. As in the case of most disease conditions, it is far better to intervene on a level of prevention than it is to pursue a situation after the disease has taken place. As the saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. In order to understand treatment and therapy options, we must first understand the workings of the joint. The process of joint degeneration involves one main signaling event, which is inflammation. This process of inflammation is at the root of everything negative that occurs within the joint. As the process of inflammation grabs hold, degenerative changes occur. One of the first, as mentioned, is a reduction in the joint fluid production or a reduction in the quality of the joint fluid. This is due to inflammatory changes within the joint capsule, impairing the production of fluid. Then, as the condition progresses inward, cellular changes develop within the cartilage, resulting in a breakdown of this tissue. That may mean that there is less glycosaminoglycans present with hyaluronic acid to maintain cartilage health and bind water for a cushion effect. Then, as the condition further progresses, cellular changes occur within the bone, altering bone production and bone loss pathways. The ultimate question is where do you choose to intervene and how? Many horse owners elect to use typical joint supplements, including glucosamine, chondroitin, and maybe hyaluronic acid. Although these supplements can provide benefits and are supported by research, there are a few things to consider. The first main concern is the dose that is utilized in the supplement that is chosen. Most research studies in horses are using upwards of 10 to 20 grams of each ingredient. Many supplements on the market are only providing a fraction of this level, so their effects are not well noticed in patients. The second thing to consider is the time frame to see clinical improvement. In most research studies in horses and humans, clinical benefits were generally not seen until after 6 months of daily usage, resulting in an improved range of motion and comfort, but not all patients benefited. The other final thing to consider is that even with use of glucosamine, chondroitin, or hyaluronic acid, there is no real changes or improvements in cartilage or joint health upon re-x-raying of the joint, meaning that the degenerative changes really have not changed during the post-treatment period. Another option is through an injection in the muscle of glycosaminoglycans. There are several generics available and one branded product called Adequan. These injections are commonly preferred by the owner or veterinarian, usually completed as a course of several injections in a series. These injections, of which there are many on the market, work very similar to the oral use of glucosamine and chondroitin. The whole purpose is to provide a framework for the cartilage and to attempt to rebuild the structure. The injectable form is perceived to provide a higher level of those nutrients as opposed to the oral route. Do these injections work? Yes, they can provide benefits to many horses, but ideally are utilized in the early stages of joint disease. The further the condition has progressed, the less likely they are to help. They can also be fairly expensive, and not every horse will respond or benefit from the usage. By far, the most common approach to the joint disease is through the utilization of joint injections. This is common practice for veterinarians and can make up a large portion of their practice income, especially involved if they are involved in the sport horse industry. Joint injections can be very effective in the short term for most equine patients. In most cases of an injection, there are several medications that can be used. In most, a corticosteroid is chosen to aid in reduction of the inflammation, which is then usually added to a hyaluronic acid to increase lubrication effects to the joint. While these injections can provide quick improvement for many horses, they are not without their side effects. Most injections go smoothly, but in some cases, infection can occur, which can be disastrous and career-ending. In other cases, sometimes the needle breaks off during the injection, which can warrant surgery and also create major joint damage. In all cases, one must realize that joint injections are not curing any condition, and the more often they are utilized, the more the horse becomes dependent upon them. While they do help to slow down the inflammatory process, they are limited in that respect, only tackling a small piece of the puzzle. Some studies have indicated that long-term corticosteroid use in the joint can actually hasten or speed up the degenerative process, leaving the patient worse over time than they were originally. Are there other options to protect the joints? To be honest, yes, but most other options are not well received or given enough credit. Two things are important when it comes to joint health. First, intervene early or ideally on a prevention level. Second, keep in mind that the process of inflammation is at the root of all of it. A horse owner can intervene using glucosamine chondroitin or hyaluronic acid in an attempt to support and rebuild joint cartilage, but these ingredients are often doing very little to impact the inflammatory process. Research does indicate that they do aid in modulating inflammation, but if inflammation is our target, we can possibly do much better. In most cases, when utilizing these supplements or ingredients, we are often left fighting an uphill battle. The horses do respond and improve, but not as much as what we desire. In most cases, this is because the inflammatory process is still ongoing. The question is why and what more can you do? First, realize that inflammation is often instigated by other factors present in that horse or even their diet. If a horse is not properly trimmed and balanced in the feet, this will lead to increased stress upon the joints, not to mention tendons and ligaments. So in a case of arthritis, it is imperative to evaluate the feet and not just rely on a farrier to make those decisions. Get involved as the horse owner, understand the feet, and make observations and judgment calls based on what you see. Second, the diet and other factors such as stress are also co-contributors to the inflammatory process. Foods that are given to your horse can either create inflammation or stifle it. Excess grains, as an example, can dramatically raise levels of inflammation in the body, which can then contribute to more joint problems. Feeding the wrong foods, period, can create more issues, even if those foods are perceived as being healthy. An example would be using excess oils or even flaxseed in an already overweight horse. Although those foods are potentially healthy, they are also a source of high calories, which can then add to the weight problem in that animal and contribute to more inflammation. Third is conformation. No horse is perfect, mind you, but you need to realize that if there are conformational issues going on, they may be creating hurdles that you can't overcome. In many of these cases of conformational issues, it is even more important to make sure the feet are being addressed properly and kept balanced. Most of these horses will wear improperly over time and require frequent trimmings and balancing to keep the structures supported. What else can be done? Target the inflammatory process specifically. Ideally, this is done properly through the use of herbs and foods. There are many foods out there that impact the inflammatory process on a positive note, but most of these foods are whole foods, not processed foods. If your horse is on a processed food diet or grain, or even if you are using a commercial vitamin mineral supplement, it may be time to consider a move. Going with whole foods such as whole grains, vegetables, and a high-quality forage can provide numerous benefits, not just in inflammation reduction, but also cellular health. There are many whole food herbs that are available that can pack a punch regarding nutrition and inflammation. Several examples include alfalfa herb, spirulina, chlorella, hemp, peas, carrots, bananas, flax, clover, barley grass. Then there is the topic of herb usage to combat inflammation. Again, here we likely have hundreds, if not thousands, of herbs that demonstrate the anti-inflammatory properties, but not all are backed by research. For some people, they like to see clinical research to support an herb before they use it, while others know the history of the herb and rather go with that. To each his own. In terms of herbs to directly impact inflammation, again, there are numerous, including turmeric or curcumin, boswellia, devil's claw, resveratrol, red clover, ashwagandha, hawthorn, and pomegranate. The list goes on, and most of these are supported by research. However, again, one needs to keep in mind the dose utilized in most studies relating to that in a horse. On average, if a person is using turmeric in a horse as a whole root powder, the dose can range from 20 to 30 grams, if not higher. If one is using one of the active ingredients of turmeric, such as curcumin, then that dose is much lower, but still high at 5 to 15 grams on average in the horse. Boswellia and many other herbs tend to have lower doses, but often still much higher than most traditional supplements utilize. The benefits to using herbs ideally in combination to gain synergistic effects is that they can impact the inflammatory process more completely than even a corticosteroid injection. By impacting the process on a higher level, it is not uncommon to see not just a reduction in pain or discomfort, but on a cellular level, there is an alteration of the negative pathways. This may mean that it is possible to slow the bone or cartilage degeneration through the use of herbs. It may also be possible with long-term usage to rebuild that bone or cartilage. In our practice, we mainly rely on herbs to promote joint health in our patients, and personally, I feel that in the long and short term, they provide a higher level of benefit to that patient. Joint function and protection is in your hands as the horse owner. Ultimately, all horses will experience joint dysfunction and degeneration. The question is whether if you as an owner choose to recognize the problem early and intervene, or if you wait until the problem is clearly developed. The longer one waits, the more difficult it is to control and manage, no matter which route is taken. There are many options to promote healthy joints, and you likely don't need a specialized joint product or supplement. You can make dietary modifications and include specific herbs into your horse's program to help encourage healthy joints and cartilage, keeping in mind that inflammation modulation is your end goal. Thank you.